Thank you. Okay. I thought I should go to the bathroom like before the reading started, but then I didn't. Now I'm like, I don't know. It's a weird in between. I feel like we need the bathroom intermission, but it's okay. We'll make it through. Oh, yeah, that's true. I will take off my mask. Yeah, I'll be okay. Oh, I can do it. Okay, so I'm going to alternate between some poems that I have on my phone because I have not printed them out in a long time. And yes, and environment, it would be a good reason too. Yeah, I don't know if I printed a poem out in a long time. Anyways, so I'll hopefully not stumble through that. So I want to begin with a poem from my book, Mean Mama, which is for sale. And this is printed. And it is, instead of eating her young, she leaves them unsupervised in front of Dora the Explorer. The outlets are all covered with hard plastic plugs, and the AC is on. She left them sesame sticks and sippy cups. Then she runs outside and begins ripping out overgrown prickly weeds with her bare hands. There is no time for gloves, sunscreen, or discretion. She smiles as she pulls the stubborn weeds by their long roots in 99 degree heat on her 80 degree hillside. In gray flip-flops and pajamas, throwing her limp victims over her shoulder and onto the cracked sidewalk that should be replaced before winter. Damn it, she mumbles when a weed snaps in her fist and the root remains intact, a predator still in the ground, wrapping around her perennials. And now she can hear the kids screaming inside, drops a weed mid-pull to go back in. It's really, I think like it's really hot outside now, like lately. So now I was like, oh, 99 degrees. Maybe I was exaggerating then. Maybe it was that hot. I don't know. So here's a poem that's on the phone, also a pandemic poem. Okay. Where do they keep the eggs here, anyways? An older woman on her phone, not respecting my social, my distance asks. I can see the saliva coming out of her thin, tight lips with every syllable projected at my masked face. A stay-at-home order has been issued by Governor Wolf, and the Facebook moms want to know, is anyone finding toilet paper? I am looking and I can't find any. I'm trying to create ambitious color-coded schedules for my wild children to follow during a pandemic. But they are jumping in puddles, tracking mud all over the house, and eating bits of popcorn off the dirty living room rug. Another Facebook mom posts, I guess I can use this quarantine time to work on my recipe book. Send me your favorite recipes, heart, heart. Maybe I should just use the same yellow and black caution close tape closing off the neighborhood playgrounds like a crime scene. But now all I have is inside my house with my family. The Facebook moms group posts, with the malls closed, what are we all doing to obtain Easter bunny photos this year? At work, I watch an overweight 16-year-old in sweats and flannel, Snoopy pajama pants go straight for the scissors, wildly stabbing the air and staff. Barricading herself behind her classmate's desk. She begins slitting her wrists fast and deep, like it is nothing, and lets the blood pour out to pool on high traffic, ultra-thin carpet. I had a miscarriage and was asked, why would you try for another if you have three perfectly healthy children? I was gifted irises for sympathy that never bloomed. A week later, I yell, we don't throw scissors to a bowl cut, bam, bam, high ponytail girl. And she replies, you're not my mother. I didn't come out of your vagina. I don't have to listen to you. Now I am being tested for COVID for the second time this month. My mortgage goes into default and my bank account has been emptied. But I'm trying to keep it tight, like the sushi roll on my grandmother's old flower china. Although it has been chipped along the edges for years.
Thank
that's uplifting. Oh, so I was just thinking about this recently. Okay. The day before my sister's wedding, she was in her bed, feverish, telling me, "It feels like someone's punching me in the ovaries." My mom says she isn't going to wait in some emergency room all night. At 2 a.m., mom texts, "At Columbia University ER, been waiting 3 hours. My brother and I take the end of June, stifling Washington Heights subway down to the A car. The stairs are in disrepair. Over 20 people disappear into an overcrowded elevator. A few minutes later, the two women operated elevator returns and we get in. They make more money than us. My also adjunct brother whispers loudly, and I don't feel his hot onion bagel breath because of the intense overpowering heat as we drop down to the subway level into the smell of mildew and hot grease. The standing operator yells, "Get out, please." Other operator is humming or singing into a small, grimy rotating fan that's locked in her direction behind a thin wooden barrier. After 2 stops, we emerge from the subway in front of the ER. My sister was brought here earlier this morning, I tell a young man behind a large marble desk, and he hands me a pass marked visitor in bright orange, points me to a single glass door, and tells me to go to station B, even though my sister is in D. Behind the glass door, everyone is losing or gaining some sort of fluid as I pass patients' open exam curtains. A 30-something Black woman is hunched over in a simple armchair, puking into her already full gown alone. Blood flows from her hung clear plastic OA and B positive negative bags through tubes to arms, and I can't find my sister without looking into each open curtain section. Finally, I slide the only closed curtain to find her laughing with a morphine drip. I hold her hand as a petite nurse prepares a penicillin injection for her. She hasn't even given you the shot yet, and you're squeezing my hand. "She hasn't?" my sister asks. The next day in the bridal suite, a short, sweaty makeup artist applies fake long lashes to my sister's closed eyes. I think she didn't even get her nails done for her wedding. Determined, I grab Wet n Wild's pearl pink and my sister's hand. The makeup artist backs away mid-second lash and tells me people can't work on a person at the same time. "What's that, an old wives' tale?" And she says something about multiple people working on the dead in the evil eye. Okay, here's another one. Okay. Young waitress walking. My black nylon skirt and white polo shirt clings to me like a stubborn onion peel. It has become another layer of skin from waitressing all day in an unair-conditioned kitchen. My tips are rolled together in a moist wad that was hardly worth the forced smiles reserved for customers that spoke extra low and quiet, forcing me closer and closer towards their eager hands that accidentally graze my teenage breast, ass, or hip. Their breath, like the complimentary half-sour pickles, make me throw up in my mouth. I'm 15, walking down Lower Murray Avenue to my parents' home midsummer. The night sky is a dark, hazy purple, thick with humidity. I can hardly breathe. I jump to a stop as a cop car lights up and squeals beside me. A stocky officer with graying hair, black uniform, bright brass badge jumps out and asks, "You walking alone?" I nod. "A pretty young girl like you, where's your big boyfriend to walk you home? It's not safe to be walking in the dark like that. I could drive you home. You shouldn't be out here." I wonder if I might be naked by the way he's gravitated and staring at my young, sweaty body. I respond that there is no boyfriend and I like to walk after work. He repeats, "You should at least let me take you home. Too young and beautiful to be walking around alone." He thinks he has loosened the onion skin, but I answer no thanks and continue walking down the loud city street with my teeth forever clenched. Mm-hmm. So a levaya in Judaism is like a funeral. So that's what this word means. Lewis's levaya. My grandmother didn't cry at my grandfather's humid Boca Raton funeral, didn't let the rabbi cut her sweater. Instead, she fell asleep and began to snore quietly. At home, she cried out of one blue infected eye. I hate to say it, but at least I have more closet space now. She loved her clothes. Okay. Here's another one about my grandparents kind of in there. Rooted. Grandma Ruthie, age 4, with her younger brother, Joe, in the county orphanage. Her Russian mother on a mat quarantined with TB, and her father, Shia, peddled trinkets from a wooden wagon in Erie. 2 years later, he rode his horse, took Grandma Ruthie to school, riding through 2 feet of lake effect snow, cleaning out Grandma Ruthie's 70s mop dresser. I find small, thin slices of yellowed hotel soap she's been hoarding since the 50s. Don't you dare throw those away. What if we run out of soap someday? She's not wrong. My grandfather, Papa Louis, age 13 in Lawrenceville, quit school, worked as a butcher, white apron, rust red, blood smears off Penn Avenue. Fat lady, feather and hat, points at a slab. He's waited on her before. Papa Louis cuts and weighs again, weighs and presents. Fat feather lady yells, slice it thinner, thinner, thinner. And he mutters, Pollock. And she mutters, Pollock. Papa Louis runs around the corner to the counter and smashes the cold raw steak into her fat face. His mother, Esther, doesn't care. She plays cards, smokes the cheap cigars, rides the jackrabbit alone, her wild short red hair always everywhere. The army gives Papa Louis a free haircut, trip to Italy, gives him a gun and a camera, says shoot. Esther gambles Papa Louis's paychecks and cries to her 5 younger children, I didn't even get to go to Kennywood this year. No. I was just at Kennywood recently and I was thinking about that. I thought it was pretty. Kennywood's such a weird place, especially when it's like 100 degrees, then it's the worst place too. And you have kids there, oh, no, nothing worse. Okay, so here's some newer poems and then I'll read one older one and yeah. Okay, and then we can all go have one more reading and then go to the bathroom. It is almost spring 2021, 5:45 a.m. Monday morning. My 9-week-old daughter is laying on my chest, snoring loudly through her tiny nostrils, but I can't stop thinking of the favored heavy chef's knife in my dark kitchen drawer. My wrists are sore, everything is heavy. I have to reassure myself I will not drop my keys, phone, or baby, that I won't turn this corner too short, but I mostly end up driving over curbs. There's a lot of weird ones in here. Placenta sale, pending. I think of the small frozen placenta in the basement chest freezer now, solid. Everything a fetus needs to survive, clinging to the red biohazard bag. 13 months too late for top dollar. It might be freezer burnt. Sometimes when I am frantically looking for dinner options, while standing knee deep in dirty laundry, I want to eat the bloody thing, even though I'm vegetarian. Cook it up with shallots, pink salt and fresh rosemary, sizzled in the saucepan, but is past its peak. A couple months later, I bury it under a lilac sapling near the cracked patio out back on the third day of spring and hope my dog doesn't dig it up and bring it back inside. Yeah. The sentences are weird, okay, but also powerful, so they're really interesting to me. This is an older poem, but I revised it. It is okay to be jealous of your slimmer, richer, suburban sister-in-law. She married the brother that can replace the knob and tube wiring, make more than the double make more than double the double chin beard belly brother you married. Her cat-like, light crystal blue eyes, so deep yet hollow, open in shock a little too much when you speak, but she doesn't see you on the other side of the Liberty Bridge, emailing your online students in between the worst back labor contractions to let them know you will be MIA for a couple of days giving birth. No one cares because you are going on 10 years of adjuncting. And 3 days postpartum, a student emails you in all caps, "When are you going to grade my essay already?" Question mark, question mark, question mark. You are as disposable as the first pair of mesh underwear the nurse will help you step into with blood streaming down your thighs after birthing your son. Instead, your sister-in-law leaves your text questions hanging like the severed head of the plastic wrapper that hangs like a flag from your daughter's red freeze pop you have failed to remove. Okay, so I'm gonna read one more from here and then this one and then we'll be done with me. I mean. Yeah, goodbye, go to the bathroom. So I think, yeah, maybe I'll read. So Kayla, who's not here, because she has a movie night or something, always wants me to read this one, so I'll read it, even though she's not here. Doesn't deserve it, but I don't know, I was thinking about reading it anyways. And it's a true story. Everything in it is completely 100% true. Mr. T, Convention Center, St. Paul, Minnesota, early 90s. My mother didn't prepare me for Mr. T, for the cobalt blue spandex, tight bulge, big package yell, "Get in the picture, little fool." I held my fist tight against my turtle in the blue pond t-shirt and looked into the Polaroid camera, then turned eye level to Mr. T's blue bulge. He said, "I like your turtle T, little girl." It's a true story. I got to meet him. He was really scary because I was really small and childish because I was a child. Here's my last poem. And thank you for having me read. This is awesome. And I'm glad to have such great company to read with. And I am running a new series, not to plug it, but I'm going to plug it. Blue Cactus at Trace Brewing. Our next reading is August 28th with Joan Bauer, Celeste Gainey, Dorley Brooks, and Gwendolyn Mitchell. So that'll be at 2 p.m. on Sunday, August 28th. And there's food trucks, so you should really come to it. It's outside in the courtyard. If it rains, there's garage doors, so we'll be okay. Okay, it's my last poem, then I'll get out of your way. Or get out of the bathroom. Okay, not all kids are cute. Some will smack a blue foam noodle at the surface of the 8-foot pool until his parents comment, "Somebody wants attention," or open your crowded fridge looking for water, even though there is a dispenser on the door. Whack your 2-year-old on the head with a large vintage rusty gardening shovel in order to get your 2-year-old off his trampoline. He will yell at your 9-year-old daughter, "Who wants to see my penis?" while in the pool. And you will happily serve all the other kids' frozen Dairy Queen chocolate cake, but conveniently forget to cut him the Pikachu decorated slice he's been claiming since you brought out the lit birthday cake. Thank you.